Our first guest is Ron Riley, who is, of course, the publisher of the news magazine known as The Password. Mr. Riley began the magazine in 1994 and immediately focused on the exploits of the Earth Guard and other superheroes. One of their first stories dealt with the connections between Stanton Enterprises and whether or not federal funding was being used in their dial-up and broadband projects. Since then, The Password has continued to make waves, including their most recent articles detailing the personal exploits of the otherworldly heroine Peace Blossom. Ron Riley joins us in the studio to discuss his magazine, their stories and ethics, and to discuss the next issue of The Password, due out tomorrow, which he promises will feature all new revelations. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Frank.
It's our pleasure, I'm sure. Let's start at the beginning. What inspired you to start The Password?
Well, you know, Frank, I just felt there was a need for it. The Earth Guard is, as they always remind us, made up of the world's most powerful heroes. Yes, they are constantly discussed in the press, but, no offense, Frank, but I felt someone needed to cast a critical eye on them instead of blindly praising them. You see, the danger when such people have enormous power and they have a blank slate from the government to do what they please, the danger is, what will these people do when we're not watching? What will these people accomplish? For example, did you vote for the Stallion? Did you vote for the Jack?
Well, no, of course we didn't. So you're saying we have kind of a social obligation to challenge them?
I would say that we should have a deep-seated fear of these people. Or should we call them people, or should we call them monstrosities of nature? Just because someone falls into a vat of nuclear acid and develops powers doesn't mean that they have a moral superiority to the rest of us.
Okay, but here's the thing. In the most recent issue, you divulge information about Peace Blossom's personal life. You talk about her there.
As you know, I can't reveal our sources, of course, but yes, we have it on good authority that Peace Blossom and at least one other woman were in and out of various hotels in Rome.
You say at least.
As some of our sources claim she was seen with a pair of women. Regardless, we have confirmed that the rooms they rented were all single, king-sized bed suites. While she did check in under an assumed name, many witnesses have placed her in Rome at the time, not the least of which is the National News, which saw her defeating the Holy Roman.
The implication, of course, being that Peace Blossom is...
No. We can't be responsible for what our readers infer from our articles. We are presenting the information we uncovered, and our readers can make of it what they will. We don't imply, we state facts.
But surely you can tell what kinds of things your readers are going to infer from what you're saying. I mean, there are certain connotations to the facts that you're stating.
We don't present a spin, we present the facts. And if people are assuming things that the Earth Guard find repugnant, then frankly, that's a problem for the Earth Guard, not for me. I don't have a problem with it. If the Earth Guard is ashamed, if they are ashamed of what they're doing, then they should re-examine themselves, and maybe, in fact, they should step down off of their big tower in space, and they should join the rest of us down here for a while.
Well, sure, I can understand questioning them. I mean, they are way more powerful than any one of us down here, but surely the Earth Guard serves a useful function for us all. For example, if not for them, who would take out the supervillains that attack us? Who would stop Lady Luna? Who would bring down the Creationists? Heck, who would stop Gas Mask?
You know what? I thank them for stopping those people. They do a great community service. But just because they help people doesn't mean they're any better than you and I. I'm just holding them to the same standards I would any other person, and showing that they have their faults just like you or I.
But you don't question any other normal person. You just question superheroes.
Well, frankly, I have to sell magazines too, don't I? People are interested in these monstrosities. They are like celebrities.
But in the new issue, you're not talking about superheroes. You're talking about a supervillain. Is that correct?
Once again, I find the problem in the phraseology of that. What makes a supervillain a supervillain? Once we actually got the opportunity to speak to the mollusk, things came to light that were heretofore unknown.
Well, how did this come about?
Well, it was during the mollusk's attack on Baltimore. While the crabs were attacking, he came into our offices with this psychic starfish, basically, and just stuck it right onto one of my writers. Through this starfish, he was able to communicate with our writer telepathically. He wanted to tell his side of the story, get his message to the world.
And so you interviewed him?
Well, the writer, Todd Call, did, yes.
Now, some would say that it's inappropriate to do an interview with a man, well, if he is a man who is considered a wanted terrorist.
What would they have had me do, punch him? I'm no superhero, and I assure you, none of our staff is either. A terrorist was insisting we interview him. He had us trapped with his creatures. Were we supposed to shoot staples at him? We interviewed him. We did what he told us.
So, but why did the mollusk go to such lengths to be interviewed by you? Why did he want this to happen?
Well, that in and of itself says something about the mollusk, doesn't it? He wants us to understand where he's coming from. He wants us to understand why he's waging war against our country. Did you know that the oil company that George Bush ran before he decided to become president of our country, it failed and all the rigs land now at the bottom of the sea? They're leaking, they're destroying, they're killing sea creatures.
So he's concerned, with the well-being of the sea creatures?
Well, frankly, it's because we struck the first blow. We hit first, and now they're bringing the fight into our own backyard. It's Pearl Harbor all over again, except this time it's our fault, and we deserve it.
So you're saying he feels he represents the ocean world in some way. He's acting on us in behalf of the people of the ocean?
Yes, and as it turns out, he has every right to, and somebody has to. That's why he went to such extraordinary lengths. You may not be aware of this, but due to overfishing, pollution, noise pollution, under the sea, there's huge issues. These animals are being driven to insanity by the effects of our machinery in their land. Are you aware that those swim with the dolphin cruises are actually quite cruel? Those poor dolphins are caught, clubbed, beaten, and then forced to swim around with nasty American schoolchildren who violently poke them in their holes.
Now, but why hasn't Ocean Man ever brought any of these issues to light?
Ocean Man is a great big fraud. I have it from Mollusk himself that Ocean Man is not king of Atlantis.
But why would he lie to Earthguard and the people?
I'm not sure why he's been lying all this time, but according to the Mollusk, he is the leader of the Atlantean undersea forces. That's why he's been striking out at us on the surface world all this time. He assures me that Ocean Man is not and has never been king of the ocean world in any sense.
Couldn't this be an attempt by the villain to discredit Ocean Man?
We consider that, of course, but it just doesn't make any sense. The Mollusk has never been able to communicate with humanity before, and his first attempt is a lie about a hero he's rarely ever even faced. As far as we can tell, the only time Ocean Man has ever gone up against the Mollusk was 3 years ago on the Florida coast, which, according to the Mollusk, was when he attempted to communicate with Ocean Man through the use of a magical Atlantean conch. The Mollusk actually believes that Ocean Man understood him, but that Ocean Man deliberately broke the conch and has been avoiding the Mollusk ever since. And we can't find a single time he's gone up against him since then. You'll notice that Ocean Man was there to help fight Boulder yesterday, but where was he when Mollusk was attacking? Notable in his absence, if you ask me.
Well, the newest issue of The Password, featuring the interview with the Mollusk, goes on sale tomorrow. We'll be back with more from Ron Reilly just after these messages.